Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah and I'm your host for this show. This is episode number 154 and we're going to be bringing you on down to Hope County today. It's going to be our Far Cry 5 review. Only two of us on the show this week, but that's okay because we're the two that actually played Far Cry 5 a lot. It's me and Allie. Allie, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
But yeah, it's a two-lady show on this lovely Friday afternoon. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk Far Cry 5 with you. I've played about 10 hours to now and then had to run away for work, and I'm very excited to play again. I know you finished it, so
yeah.
Or the story. So this is going to be a good discussion. But of course, we're going to get into the normal stuff at the beginning of the show to start, though. Of course, want to remind you all, if you like what you're hearing, please feel free to subscribe to the GOG Cast on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. And we love you forever for doing so. Not that we don't already. I'll love you forever, but, you know, you just get double the love.
We love you more now.
How can you love you more than love you forever?
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll make that happen. We've got science. There are scientists out there that'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay, Allie, are you playing anything else besides Far Cry right now?
No.
No?
No. Okay. This game took over my life. I don't even want to talk about the hours played.
In a very short amount of time, we got the review code not even a week out from launch, I think.
Yeah, and I only installed the game on the 23rd.
Mm.
And I only actually got around to playing it on the 24th.
And then the game came out on the 27th.
Yes.
You're a machine.
Yeah, so I have... I have well over 50 hours in this game.
Impressive. All right. So. I was playing Far Cry 5, obviously, and then because traveling, mm-hmm. Stardew Valley.
Ooh, nice. On the Switch?
So, yeah, on the Switch. I know there's currently a big spring sale on Xbox, and
yes.
I've actually... What? There it was? Yes. I think it might be done by the time this episode comes out. Or still going? Till the 9th. April 9th?
It's still going as of us recording on the 30th, and I believe there are several days to go.
Yeah, I think it said it's done on the 9th or something. Yeah. I'll have to look that up.
I went through that list last night and bought some games.
Ah, nice. What'd you buy?
Well, actually, I bought one game. I bought Thimbleweed Park, which is something I've been waiting to play.
I've been hearing good things.
Yeah, it got really good reviews. I just didn't have time for it when it launched, and the price point was just a little bit above what I wanted to spend at the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was on sale for half price, so I scooped it up for like $10 USD last night.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. I'm actually thinking about buying Stardew Valley on Xbox.
I don't think Stardew Valley is on sale.
It's not,
but
it's only $14.
But I would honestly, like, I've bought that game 3 times already. I would just recommend buying it again.
I would probably buy it for the 3rd time because I'm actually thinking about maybe, like, trying to 100% that game for achievements.
The achievement list is actually one of my least favorite parts of Stardew Valley. To
really?
Be totally honest, yeah, I actually really detest it. I think it could have been a little bit more creative. But, I mean, it's definitely possible. It's just kind of a grind.
Do they relate to the achievements that are in game? Like they have, like in the Switch version of the game, they have like achievements inside that are just like stars of things you have to reach, like earn $1 million and, you know, like ship 15 of every object that you can farm.
Yes, I believe they are directly related.
Okay. Yeah, then I can see that being quite the challenge.
Yeah, it's quite the grind.
Yeah, but I think it might be fun to do, especially, yeah, I was scouting out when I was in Toronto. I got to see my new office. There's a nice big TV there, and I happen to own a extra Xbox, so I might be installing that in my office for my lunchtime tranquility moments with Stardew Valley.
I like it. I think it's a solid idea.
I might do that. We'll see how it goes. I am so obsessed with that game. All right, it's time for News of the Week, and we're going to get into that right after this break. We'll be right back. we're back with some news, a little bit different this week. I pulled two news stories to kind of poke Allie on. So, first off, this one I started hearing about because I watched Game Rank's YouTube videos, and they did like this mashup of biggest or craziest news stories coming out of games for the month of March. And then I had to go and read more because I was like, what? So the full story that I'm reading after Game Ranks is on hypebeast.com. And it's titled Dutch Drug Dealers Use Nintendo Cartridges to Hide Substances. So essentially is what these folks in the Netherlands have done is they went and 3D printed Nintendo like NES cartridges and then they started throwing drugs in there and using that as the mule, as like, so you would go and like, you know, it would look like you were doing a street retro games deal and to get your drugs. So weird.
This feels like some sort of weird hipster drug delivery service.
Oh man, I was cracking up when I was listening too, because they were showing some of the pictures in the Game Ranks video, and like, it's just the gray cartridge. They have no labels on them. So who's going to pick up like a box of just blank NES cartridges? Can you even get them and then be real with like someone hasn't like ripped the plastic off the front of it? Like, it's just weird.
It's very, it seems like a lot of trouble to go through to sell drugs.
Well, I mean, they weren't light drugs they were dealing with, it like LSD, cocaine, and MDMA. So, you know, they're ingenuitive. They got, you know what I mean? Apparently, this was part of a huge year-long sting operation, and this is what it came down to.
Oh my gosh. You can only imagine being, like, the police officer sitting in a room explaining to, like, their sergeant, like, what those cartridges are. It's, like, explaining to, like, some sort of 60-year-old man, like, why... why this
well,
is
they
happening.
Probably know what it is more so than maybe someone younger, because I imagine, like... you know, now coming across a NES cartridge, you know, it's like when people are like, VHS, cassette tapes, what are these things? You know what I mean? Sometimes I wonder.
Well, I mean, got to give them props for being creative, I suppose.
Yeah, 3D printers are pretty cheap now, so I guess it makes it kind of easy.
Even drug dealers have them.
On another news story that I actually want to bring up with you, because I know that you are so entwined in the Xbox ecosystem. Mm-hmm. News came out via the Xbox Wire that No Man's Sky is coming to Xbox One this summer.
Yes.
Are you willing to go play this?
I'm willing.
Okay.
I'm willing to play it. I mean, we've talked about No Man's Sky a lot, and I've talked about it in the sense that, you know, it's one of those games that it was too little too late after launch. You know, like, I've talked about how certain games are getting progressively better after launch, but at that point, they've already missed the boat for onboarding a huge number of community members. You know what I mean? Because games release so quickly that people can't stick around for 6 or 8 months until a game reaches its full potential. Mm-hmm. And thankfully for us on Xbox, we didn't have the chance to hop on the boat early. So basically what we're getting, hopefully, fingers crossed, is a game that has reached its full potential. And apparently there's also a large update coming to Xbox immediately as the game launches. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm willing to give it a shot. I don't know what's going to come of it. I will be inquiring about a review copy, because I do think it'd be interesting. I do think it'd be interesting to take a look at the game after all this time. And also question why it's coming to Xbox. I mean, before now, there was really no indication that it was going to be, you know, coming to this console. And so I'm curious, you know, was it just out of goodwill to the community? Was it because the game hasn't made enough money? I mean, I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. It might end up being the definitive version, because not only are they bringing, like you mentioned, Xbox One with the next patch and next content, they're also going to enhance it for Xbox One X with support for HDR and 4K. So this could be like,
it could be
the
like
best version of the game.
Exactly, which is gonna be kind of funny, let's be honest. That's a little bit hilarious, because there was that whole, you know, certain parts of the community when, you know, No Man's Sky got announced, it kind of rekindled that whole console war sort of deal. And then It would definitely put a bee in somebody's, like, you know, cornflakes.
Yeah.
Tried to come up with a phrase there.
Bee in
the cornflakes.
Bee in somebody's bonnet. Usually that's how it is.
No, a bee in somebody's bonnet is, like, giving them, like, information.
No, it's pissing them off because they'll sting them in the head.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I've always heard of
Someone tweet at us.
I've always heard that it's like, oh, I put a bee in somebody's bonnet and, like, gave them, like, the buzz.
I thought it was more along that someone had a bee stuck in their head and
I could be totally wrong too.
Like sticking you in
the head. That also sounds very likely. Speaking of bees, there's bees in Far Cry 5, by the way.
I know. They got me good.
That we'll discuss that more in depth. I have feelings about the wildlife in that game.
Very soon. But I want to bring up two things with this, though, because I know it's something that we had been talking about in our chat. You know, people jumping into games later and actually having a better time with them.
Yeah.
I know some people who went into, especially like Assassin's Creed Unity, that after all the patches came out, they played like 6 months later. It was a lot better. They had a much better time. I'm like, this game is great. Why was everybody shitting on it? And then I know right now people are saying maybe Sea of Thieves doesn't have all the content that it probably should, and you're actually pondering waiting to jump in until it's beefed up a little.
So yeah, I mean, I've taken part in Sea of Thieves life cycle thus far. I've been part of the closed alpha. I played there. I played in the open betas, the closed betas. I've been there for every step of its journey thus far. Throughout my entire experience with the game, I kept saying, oh no, there's definitely going to be more content in the release. There's definitely going to be stuff they're not showing. Come to find out, there is definitely not enough content in Sea of Thieves to keep my attention for more than maybe 4 hours. I'm not a fan of repetitive quests, mechanics. It's just not my style. I prefer very lively, life-filled worlds, which Sea of Thieves is kind of...
Sorry, that was my dog.
I just saw Bowie walk by like he did nothing at all.
No, he just hit his tail off the space heater.
I feel like Sea of Thieves is on the cusp of something great, but it's just not quite there yet. And the community is very divided. If you love Sea of Thieves, you love Sea of Thieves. People have been playing it nonstop. People on my friends list have been playing it, you know, every day, consistently, and for hours at a time, and enjoying themselves. But if you don't like Sea of Thieves, you really don't like Sea of Thieves. So I'm curious to go back to that game in about 6 to 8 months and see what has changed. Because there's so much room. There's so much room for different things. Whether it be, you know, events or just more content. It's a beautiful game.
Isn't it?
It's a beautiful game, but it's just not for me, sadly.
Were you on the cast last week? I'm trying to remember now. I think you might have not been. I think you were tied up with something. Because I talked about Sea of Thieves a little bit in that I jumped in for... I, unlike you, hadn't played anything. None of the betas and anything. Jumped in on the day after launch. And I spent an hour and I found it really obtuse, the fact that they didn't tell you anything.
Yes.
No explanations, nada.
So I originally booted up my game when it came out. It got in and there was no tutorial. There was nothing. And I was like, this is a little weird. If you have not already played, you're going to be like literally up shit creek without a paddle until you just try stuff, you know? Which in a game that is potentially PvP from the get-go,
yeah,
you're kind of screwed. So,
well, that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And so I ended up dying out on a mission. And when I spawned back in, that was when the tutorial popped. And even then, it was very, very, very lacking. It was like, go here to eat a banana. And I was like, okay.
I didn't even get that, girl.
I know, I know. So
yeah,
that right there is... it can be very off-putting for some players.
So also when I had that, I also had my review copy of Far Cry 5. So that's like sitting there. I'm like, oh, but everybody's playing this. I should probably jump in, test it out. So Nixie and I started. She had to jump off and go do something. Mm-hmm. So we only played for an hour, but we died. She got stuck in a glitch in between two rocks and a shark tried to eat her. Our boat got annihilated by somebody. And then when she left, I was like, okay, I don't feel so bad. And then Far Cry took up my mm-hmm. life. So I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to wait and go back in a bit.
Well, that's it. It's like, you know, I went from playing Sea of Thieves for a couple hours, and then just like that, I got my review copy for Far Cry 5, and it was like going from a barren wasteland of content to an oasis of content. Mm-hmm. And so there was kind of a no-brainer for which game I wanted to spend my time in. Yeah. But like I said, I'm stoked that people are enjoying Sea of Thieves. And I think that bodes well for the game's future. Mm-hmm. But I want to be there for the game's future, not necessarily its present.
That's okay. Well, wait, it's one of those games that I'm actually willing to wait, because I think this is the thing now that they need to get everybody in there, test the water, see what people like, and then throw in the content. Well, so we'll wait.
Games as a service are a thing now. It's a thing. And so we're going to see this game evolve, and we'll just be there for the evolution.
All right, I think it's time to talk Far Cry 5.
Yes!
So let's get into that right after this break. All right, we're back. It's time to get into it.
Oh. I think we need to start this Far Cry 5 little mini special with the screaming eagle from the Clutch Nixon.
Ah!
I really think we need that sound to play.
Do you have that audio?
I don't have that audio. No, it's so actually my new ringtone. No,
nice. There you go. Amazing. All right, with that being said, we are getting into our Far Cry 5 review. Allie and I have both spent time with the game. Allie has finished the story mode. I'm about 10 hours in. What we're going to do, because we do want to get into, you know, some non-spoilerish stuff and then some spoilerish stuff in a bit, we'll put a warning when we start jumping into story mode stuff where, you know, you might get spoiled. But we need to talk. Allie and I have emotions. We have thoughts. We need to get them out there. Let's get into it. So, Allie, first right off the bat, this is your first Far Cry experience, correct?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. I thought you hadn't played the other games.
No, I did play Far Cry 4.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I played a good chunk of Far Cry 4, but quickly got bored with a lot of the repetitive missions.
Okay.
Which was actually kind of tickled me pink, because there is a direct commentary on Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 5 where an NPC tells you that they will not be sending you after radio towers, which I thought was a fantastic little kind of little Easter egg. This was my first time playing a Far Cry game to completion.
Okay.
But not my first time with the series.
Okay. I've played Far Cry 3, 4, Primal, and now 5.
Oh, I played Primal too.
Oh, there you go.
I kind of don't count Far Cry Primal as like a Far Cry game.
Why? Because Blood Dragon is too.
I didn't play Blood Dragon.
And I played a little bit of that. I played a little bit of it. But I actually really enjoyed Primal. Out of all of them, they were my favorite when it came to like I got into it. Like I felt less stressed out, maybe because there was no automatic weapons.
And that's why I think I don't consider it a Far Cry in my head. You know what I mean? Okay. Like it doesn't fit in with that. Is like, to me, that was just like a cool prehistoric experience.
And I think it actually intended out as more like a Blood Dragon, as DLC, as something extra. But then they realized we could actually make this a full-fledged game. So that's what they did.
Yeah.
Far Cry 5. Do you want to give a rundown, like a synopsis of, you know, what it's all about this time around and the villain?
Yeah. So basically you play a rookie who is being sent with a selection of the local police force, as well as a United States Marshal, to go and serve an arrest warrant to Joseph Seed, who is the leader of a cult that has kind of blossomed in Montana, up in Hope County. And things don't exactly go according to plan.
Do they ever?
When you go to arrest Joseph and round up his flock. And so that they are operating under the name Eden's Gate. And Joseph believes that God has spoken to him and told him about the end times and what people are going to have to do to, you know, be okay at the end of the world, essentially. And so obviously things go sideways when you end up at Joseph's compound. And at that point, it's basically you versus the cult, with the residents of Hope County helping you along the way.
And that's where they get you in the beginning. And I think this is not a spoiler because this information's been out for a while. It's the very first thing that happens when you start the game. That opening sequence had my jaw on the floor.
It's beautiful. It's
and he is spooky as fuck.
Mm-hmm. So they, I was reading some interesting backstory about the casting for Joseph. I believe the actor's name is Greg Burke.
Not sure off the top of my head.
I can't remember. Anyways, he was used as the voice actor and as well as the, you know.
He looks like him.
Yeah, his
very
animation.
Very much like Voss and Michael Mondo. He looks like him.
Exactly. It's a striking resemblance. It's very, very eerie, actually. And if I ever see him in anything else going forward, I'm always going to see him as Joseph. But he was cast pretty much at the last minute. They were having trouble casting him. They were having trouble finding someone that really... Because, I mean, as we know, cult leaders are charismatic. They're, you know, dripping with something that attracts people to them with these mm-hmm. absolutely insane ideas. And he is so that. He makes... And this is kind of odd, and it's something that we don't see enough of, I think, in video games. He makes very, very, very pointed eye contact with the camera.
He does. That's the creep factor.
It's very unnerving. And it was just that opening sequence for the game was, to me... One of my most favorite parts of the story of the game.
Agreed.
It's very good. Very well done.
Yeah. They scare you good there in the beginning. And you really understand the power of... Because when you think about it, you know, like, what could this guy do? How could he... You're going in there with, like, a marshal. You're armed. You know, you're in a helicopter. You're trying to escort him out because you want to capture him. And it's just... The shit hits the fan.
Yeah, I mean,
It's scary. You didn't realize how much power these folks could have living in this small town and mm-hmm. how they could get access to guns and other weaponry to be able to, you know, protect themselves this way.
Because, yes, and I think it's important to mention for those of you who haven't played it, once again, this is not a spoiler, but the cult started as something small in Hope County and the locals kind of let it get away from them. They didn't do something when it was starting out, and then all of a sudden they are faced with a cult that has immersed themselves into their, you know, physical location. They have, you know, a large arsenal of weaponry, helicopters, trucks, boats, everything that they need to basically stage a coup. They have, and they're using it. So it's you going in with... You know, two deputies, a local sheriff, and a United States Marshal, and you're walking through this church, and there's cult members, you know, toting automatic weapons, and it's very, very, very unnerving, exactly is the right word.
And then once you get into the game, we start gameplay, as we expect from Far Cry. They did make some changes from previous games that I actually really enjoyed. Like you mentioned, we were talking earlier, going and raiding outposts is not exactly the same mechanic. There's a little bit of it, but not nearly as repetitive as in previous games.
Yeah.
How have you felt about that part of the gameplay?
So I said this before and I'll say it again. I think this is the most fun I've had with AAA gameplay in like over a year. I feel like, and you know, I felt this with Assassin's Creed Origins. I felt like Ubisoft had almost nailed this new formula for Assassin's Creed. I still think that things got a little repetitive in that game, but they're really close. But I think with Far Cry 5, other than the story, I think that Ubisoft has nailed the recipe for Far Cry games going forward. They found the perfect balance between... You know, side quests, miscellaneous quests, and, you know, assorted objectives. And couching the outposts, there's not an overwhelming number of them to do. There's, you know, a very limited number in each of the three areas of the map. Mm-hmm. And they all felt so different.
That's very true.
And I think it helped that they were all in different locales. Like, the map changes between the three different distinct areas that you go to, whether you're in John's area or Jacob's area or Faith's area.
Yep.
The, you know, the physical locale is...
The terrain?
The terrain is different. Mm. And so going into each one, it felt like I could approach them differently, especially with the different guns and fangs for hire. You could do so many different things. And I never ever once got bored doing side quests in Far Cry 5, which I thought for sure I was going to I'm going to, you know, boot up Netflix on my computer and sit here and drag through this and, you know, just start unlocking areas. But no, like, I was so into it.
Speaking of the areas.
Yeah.
Where did you go first?
I started with John.
Yep.
Moved to Faith and went up to Jacob. So yeah, I started in the flatlands and the farmland, and then I went over to the Henbane area and then up to the Whitetail Mountains.
Okay. I think that's the path I'm going to take too. I went down to John first, but what's interesting about the game is they don't actually lock you into a specific path that you need to take.
Yep.
They do suggest it. They imply go get Boomer off the bat, but they kind of used him as a mechanic to be able, you know, like, to introduce the Fangs for Hire. They used him a lot in promo.
Well, that's it. He was a very key part of their marketing.
Exactly. So they do lead you that direction and kind of like friendly hint that you should go that way to start. But you don't have to.
Nope.
That's really cool.
It's very open. And to kind of just give you guys some more information, the map is divided into three areas. Each of the three areas is ruled by one of Joseph's family members. So you've got John, who is a damaged individual. You've got Jacob, who is the ex-military, who is trying to cull the herd of the weak. And then you've got Faith, who is in charge of Bliss production and basically making cult members compliant using the Bliss.
And the Bliss is a very interesting drug.
Yes, it is. It's very, very trippy. Mm. And then so in each of these areas, you basically have to fill up a reputation meter, essentially, until you come up to the fight with the big baddie of that region. And it's really cool. There's so many different ways to advance that bar, and it felt very natural. It didn't feel like I had to go out of my way to, you know, grind out that extra 5 points I needed. You know what I mean? It was just very like, I'm enjoying the heck out of myself, and I'm eventually gonna get to whoever I need to fight.
How did you feel about growth for your character? Because one thing that was interesting about this game that was different from previous Far Cries is that the acquisition of guns and stuff was not actually part of the progression. It was actually more like skills that you ended up learning through using different guns, hunting down different creatures, using your fangs for hire and guns for hire. That's very different from previous Far Cry games. How did you find that?
I mean, I never felt myself wanting for any weapons. Like, I always felt like I had a good selection already available. But then, you know, I'd go that extra mile to finish this quest and I would get something cool for it, you know, and that would be available in the shop the next time I dropped by. It all felt very, very normal. I never once looked at a guide. I mean, I didn't have the option to because I was playing a review copy. I kind of went about things my own way and I thought it worked, you know? I didn't feel like I was checking things off of the list.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very cool.
One thing that I noticed, too, when I'm currently in the middle of John's area, and you could probably go through it faster than I have, but the thing is I get distracted by all the side quests and hunting. Like, I went and fished, and I was so impressed by the mechanic of that. And then also just wandering around the area. I don't fast travel very much in that game because I actually really enjoy taking the time to wander and see what I can find because you start picking up spots like where to get black bears, where to go and hunt for rainbow or fish for rainbow trout and where the helicopters are. And it actually felt very rewarding on an for exploration mm-hmm. rather than you trying to get through the game fast.
Exactly. Like, I mean, the game, the map is covered with like a layer of fog, essentially. And the more you explore, the more the fog recedes and you start noticing like, oh, there's a cabin up there that I haven't gone to see yet. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just make your way to these things and I very rarely fast travel too, unless it's to get somewhere like all the way across the map, because honestly, when you hoof it, you end up finding so many cool things and so many small little secrets. Like, I found a really cool secret last night. I can't tell you guys because I don't want to spoil it, but it's really cool. It was just something I never would have found if I was, you know, fast traveling or helicoptering my way everywhere, which arguably driving the helicopter or flying the helicopters is pretty fun. But, you know, just by taking that extra little trek by foot, worth
it. Yeah, I actually found it going in a helicopter, going in a car was actually more of a pain in the ass because the cultists would get on your butt a lot mm-hmm. faster than if I just tracked through the woods. And then by having Boomer by my side, because one of his skill set is the fact that he can see the animals. Obviously, he's a dog, so he can see all that stuff and mark them for you. And that actually made hunting a lot faster so that I could up my my perks and skill tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the guns and fangs for hire, do you have a favorite?
I do. So I've unlocked all of them at this point. Mm-hmm. And I really love Boomer. But Boomer's like a little too precious for this world. And so just to put you guys at ease, your fangs and your guns for hire can't die. They just go away for a little bit. They go away for like two, 4 or 6 minutes, I believe, depending on how fast you have. Because you can upgrade your perks to have them come back faster.
Mm-hmm.
So if Boomer goes down in combat, you go over and you literally rub his belly and he's like back and on his feet, or he just goes away for 2 minutes if you don't get back to him in time. Mm. But Boomer's too precious. He reminds me too much of my dog, so I don't use him. I call him in to pet him and then I send him away again. But I use Peaches and Cheeseburger. So Peaches is the cougar that you can get, and Cheeseburger is the bear. And they're both like kind of powerhouses. Like, Cheeseburger's quite obviously like very tanky, and Peaches is a little bit more sneaky. But she's also really, really damaging to cultists. So I usually use those two, or I use one of those in correspondence with Nick, who's the pilot who offers you air support. And I just kind of cycled in and out, tried a few different people, but yeah, those are the three that I kind of relied most heavily on.
Yeah. When it comes to playstyle, I found that my playstyle, I started off very sneaky, and even just quickly in, I'm now just like, who cares? I'm going in, throwing dynamite, blowing shit up, like not caring, you know, like if I get caught or anything, because I know that I can just run off, you know, heal myself up, hide in the bushes a bit, and then just go right back at it again.
Yeah.
Is that how you played the game, or did you play it differently?
No, I'm a total Leroy Jenkins. Like, I go in guns a-blazing to like every situation I ever run into in video games. I did. There were some points where I was sneaky, though, like because there are certain quests that you'll have to go on where you have to save hostages, you know. So I lost some hostages at first and I got really upset by it. And I was like, I don't want to do that again. So then I started approaching things a little bit sneakier. And, you know, Peaches is awesome to take on those kinds of things because she can hide in the tall grass. So I did occasionally sneak, but most of the time I was like, dynamite in this game is like my favorite thing in the world. I was throwing sticks of dynamite fucking left, right, and center. I was just like, oh, it was great.
I remember one point I like made myself get seen in this one area, and I don't know what it was with the bounding box of like the fort, but there was an entrance. So all the baddies came right there and were just running around but wouldn't actually exit.
Huh.
So I just threw in one stick of dynamite. Kablooey! Magic. Nice. The area is now liberated. yeah, this game is good. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we jump into the second half of our discussion, which will be more spoilery?
I did have one con, and I kind of want to ask you if you experienced the same thing.
Okay, let's go into that.
I had some issues with audio.
No, I didn't.
I had a lot of instances where, like, audio was, like, doubling over. Like, I'd have, like, two NPCs talking over one another. Mm-hmm. And subtitles couldn't keep up, and so I ended up missing what people were saying. I did have a few NPCs that called me him.
You played as a girl?
I was playing as a girl. Actually, by the way, guys, this is the first time that you can pick the gender of your character in the Far Cry series, which was pretty cool. Lots of customization options as far as outfits and weapon skins and stuff like that. But yeah, I had NPCs and stuff calling me him. And I also noticed that in story missions, they call you like M, like get M sort of deal.
Get him.
Yeah, like that.
That kind of thing.
And it felt like it kind of annoyed me because sounded like they were saying him.
Okay, because like they were saying, and I was actually going to mention that to you, they call me princess. Like, come out, princess.
Cultist, you know what I mean? I never had an issue with. Cultist, okay. I'm pretty sure one of them called me a bitch at one point. But yeah, I heard princess, I heard her from the cultists.
Yeah.
But other like friendly NPCs, I got called him. And in story missions and stuff like that, where there was like cutscenes, essentially, they would call, like, they would use, you know,
the male.
Not male, but they would use like gender neutral terms. But if I didn't have subtitles on, I would have thought they were saying him, because instead they were using M, like,
okay,
watch him, instead of like watch him. Or watch her, but it sounded like watch him anyways. And I don't know, that kind of just, like, it just annoyed me. I was like, I went through the effort of picking a female character, you know?
But at the same time, I actually found that I often forgot that I was playing a girl because I wasn't seeing my figure. So, and I'm also just so used to playing other video games, especially Far Cry, where I've been a guy for so long that I forgot I was a girl.
Yeah. I mean, I was changing my outfit quite frequently, so I didn't forget that. So yeah, I had issues with some audio, you know, things playing over other pieces of audio that were relatively important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just something that happens in open world games. I mean, it's impossible to know when I'm going to trigger something.
Yeah.
And another thing gets triggered. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was fine. I had subtitles on. That helped. But I can imagine that if you're really, really, really into picking up every little bit of story and lore, that could get kind of annoying.
I didn't run into any issue like that. I was okay. So, yeah, maybe it was a glitch. And sometimes, too, when we get review copies as well, when we play them and they have a day one patch or something like that, because I had an issue with a UI thing that just made it hard to see.
As did
but
I.
Then that
they
got
fixed that.
Very quick.
Yeah.
As soon as day one. So yeah, maybe it had something to do with that. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't encounter that. And I didn't hear many people talk about that outside of out of you mentioning it now.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. It could just be the amount of hours that I've put into the game. I've played, I think, quite a bit more than most people have. So it might
quite
just
possible.
Be that I've, you know, aggregated a lot of things during my playthrough.
How about arcade? Did you get to jump into that at all yet?
I have. I spent actually a lot of time in arcade last night. Finishing up the achievements for the arcade mode.
Okay.
So I'm at about 35 out of 50 achievements for the game.
Okay.
So I'm chugging along.
Do you like it?
Eh.
Just not for you.
I mean, I think it has potential. I think that in the coming weeks, we'll see people creating more content in arcade that's more interesting. But as of right now, it's kind of like, I could have done without it. Like, it's not a game seller for me.
Yeah, but I think that's a type of gamer that we are, too.
I mean,
are you one to go in and make levels when you
have... Yeah, I love the Forge in Halo.
Okay, because I don't.
Oh, I like
I
that.
I am not a big fan of that.
I like that. I mean, I think maybe it's just my experience with arcade. It's just they're slim pickings right now. And I think arcade modes and games are, like, perfect examples of people being, like, I could do game design better than game designers can. And then, like, you play their map and you're like, no, you can't. But yeah, I mean, I had some fun with it last night. I played the featured maps, which, I mean, if you want to, you know, filter out quality and stuff like that, definitely, you know, search only through featured. And that was okay. But I really honestly, after I get my last achievement for arcade mode, I don't know how much time I'm going to be spending in arcade.
How about co-op? You can play the entire campaign in co-op. I haven't really done that yet because I actually want the achievements and you don't get them if you play that way.
exactly the same reason why I didn't do that, which is kind of a bummer because for the first time ever, you can play the whole campaign in co-op, like you said, and you won't get the achievements. And that to me is kind of a deal breaker.
Yeah, that was a deal breaker too. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to play as much of this as I can now. And since my husband is not really into achievement hunting, I'll wait and let him get into the point, and then I'll just jump into his game instead of him jumping into mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of waiting on that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Actually, the achievements for this don't look too bad. I mean, you're through 35 of 50. That they're actually pretty achievable. They don't look obnoxious.
Yeah, no. I think this is a sign of Ubisoft learning. There's no achievement for, you know, hunting down every single collectible or anything like that. It's you know, finding one of each collectible instead. And instead, it kind of gives you like fun things like running 20 people over or mulching 5 people up with a tractor and stuff like that. So like, it's fun stuff that you kind of will get organically through the game anyways. Mm-hmm. So I've got to give them major props for improving their achievement list.
All right, it's time to get into the spoiler side of this discussion. So fair warning, for the next little while, Allie and I are getting into spoilers. We want to talk this way, and we know some of you will have gotten to this point, will have finished the game, and if not, if you haven't yet, go play and then come back and chat with us, okay? So, you have been warned. Allie, let's talk about the story. How did you feel about the story? We mentioned that it starts off real good. I haven't gotten to the end yet. How do you feel after finishing?
I want to forget every bit of that story.
What? No! Why?
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Oh, but she starts off with a bang.
I know. And you know what?
What happened?
You know what? I honestly feel... And you know what? This part isn't even really spoilers. I'm going to give my honest opinion of the story without spoilers right now.
Okay.
I think that this story was wasted on a Far Cry game.
Do you mean the whole concept of the you know, like
I think the whole story,
Doomsday
like,
Cult?
I honestly think the whole story, like from the concept to the actual writing to the actual story, was wasted on a Far Cry game.
And how can you, is it because of the silliness
it
of
is,
Far Cry?
It is, honestly, it's because, you know, it's a serious topic. And I mentioned in the past that I didn't know if Ubisoft would be able to approach it with enough gravitas to really do it justice. And I thought, you know, that first opening, that opening sequence, I was like, oh, maybe they really did this time. And then just as the game progresses, it's really hard to take a good story seriously when I just, you know, it's hard to take a good villain's progression seriously. When he's, first of all, Joseph is very removed from the game. Mm-hmm. You only really see Joseph again after you kill each of the siblings. And then again at the end of the game.
I figured that would be on purpose because they wanted to make him godlike and give him this like aura of, you mentioned like gravitas or whatever, unattainability, unreachable, godlike.
Which I get that. And I know that's what they were going for. But it's very hard to take a god seriously after I just finished a quest for the testy festy. Like, I just finished collecting bull testicles, and now I'm supposed to take this storyline seriously.
I get you. I get you completely.
And it's kind of disappointing because I feel like if they had used this storyline on a, first off, not open world, not anything can happen sort of gameplay, and put it into more of a, you know, narrative-driven game that was much more linear, I think it could have had more of an impact. But I finished the game, and I was extremely disappointed in the story.
Do you have a unknown turning point of where you were like, okay, this switched. This is no longer on this track where I think that this is this grand commentary on, you know, a situation rather than and it went south.
You take down John Seed, and taking down John is very much like, it felt like an action movie. You know, you're up there in the plane, you're getting his plane down, he parachutes out, you go after him, and there's a showdown, you know what I mean? And it felt like an action movie. And it still felt like it flowed with the story.
Okay.
And then you go after Faith, And obviously her power is her bliss, right? Like, they can't have a woman toting a gun, apparently, because, you know, female villains are always the supernatural and the ethereal and stuff like that. So she uses her bliss to mess with your mind and kind of put you through these little mini tests. And that was when I kind of realized that there was, like, going from, like, action hero taking down a villain to, like, mm-hmm. going to that, it felt so different. And it felt so, mm-hmm. like, it felt like there was a disconnect, like, immediately right there. It was, like a jarring sort of, like, ugh.
Yeah, I've heard commentary on that yet. Obviously, I'm not in that area yet. And the two things that I could probably... the comment that people have said is that she feels the most video gamey of villains mm-hmm. in the scenario of all the Seed brothers and sisters. And then also, there's a trope that seems to happen in all Far Cry games where there's some kind of moment where you hallucinate or whatever. I remember it in Primal, and you drink that wacky juice and then you end up flying as the eagle. Or, you know, in Primal, I think it was like the dust or something that they spit in your face. I try to remember off the top of my head. It's been so long since I played that game. But there's always like this moment where it feels like you're high as a kite.
Well, that's it. And that's what, like, after John, that's mm-hmm. what the last two siblings are, is bliss and essentially mind control. And you go into, like, these trippy hallucinations, and it's, like, it doesn't feel real anymore.
Do you think that's us? Because, like, when you think about cults and stuff, that's often sometimes how they do things. They get people hopped up on drugs. They do these psychological, like... I mean, people talk about Scientology and everything, and mm-hmm. it's like a psychological game that they play with you as mm-hmm. much to get control as, you know, playing on fear or something like that.
And you know what? I think that would be valid if it was throughout.
Okay.
But when you literally start and it's so, so tangible, like it's a firefight. It's a very, like, real world firefight. John exerts his dominance on people by literally carving their sins into their flesh. It's very, very, very physical. But then mm-hmm. you get to Faith, who is, you know, making you hallucinate and stuff like that. And you get to Jacob, mm-hmm. who's using his little music box to, you know, turn you against the people in your life. And it's just like, you just kind of lost a thread of believability because it relies on that. It's not just like, it's too obvious.
Okay.
That it's mind control. You know what I mean? It's not subtle enough.
Okay. They do have moments with the bliss in John's area, and it's kind of like your first introduction to it. And it's interesting, and I kind of had a feeling that obviously we were going to end up into more of that. But at first I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I was very confused. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh, and then I drew the correlation to other Far Cry games and when they have those moments.
Yeah, and there's moments where the bliss is believable. Like, when I started going into the Henbane area and started working towards fighting Faith, there are moments where, you know, all of a sudden she'll be there. She'll just appear in, like, this cloud of bliss and talk to me and try and woo me over to her side. And that felt believable because, you know, I was experiencing the effects of the bliss in that area because they're pumping it through the water, through the air. Mm. That felt normal. But then when it comes to her fight and she pulls you into, like you said, a very, very, very video game, almost Final Fantasy-esque playing field for her boss battle. And it was just like, this is lame. Mm. Like, this just feels way too unbelievable.
I remember when I started playing the game mm-hmm. and there was nobody to talk to, and I messaged you because I did something in the very beginning of the game mm-hmm. and this is out there now, obviously, because in Far Cry 4, something that appeared, if people didn't realize, but if you went to have dinner with Pagan Min and you actually sat there and waited for him to get back, he would come back, thank you for waiting, mm-hmm. and then the credits would roll. So in the beginning of the game, when it's... I had a feeling something like that was coming. So the beginning of the game, when you do go in and you meet Jacob for the first time.
Joseph, for the first time,
mm-hmm. and you go and he reaches out his hands and he's ready to, like, get arrested. He's like, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. And I sit there with a controller and I just wait. And I wait and I wait. And the dudes yell at me. The marshal's like, what are you doing, rookie? Lock him up and let's go. And I didn't. And then the game ended.
Mm-hmm.
And the credits rolled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool.
I
expected it. But at the same time, I kind of wish it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish something else had happened because that had already been done before.
Exactly. And you know what? I felt like a little bit let down that they did that in the exact same way that they did that in Far Cry 5. I feel like they, if they had left that same concept, but like left it to a later choice, it would have been more effective. But like literally doing it exactly at like the beginning of the game just didn't have the same impact as it did in Far Cry 4.
I would have been more impressed as if I had waited, and then that changed. The firefight still happened. Everything still went down. But instead, it somehow changed the mechanic of how my gameplay was after that point.
Yeah.
Like, maybe because I didn't. Because
you hesitated.
Because I hesitated, the cultists were going to be a little less aggressive with me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would have been, like, almost like a handicap. It's like, you want to play the game a little easier? Don't handcuff Joseph.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I still think it was interesting. And I actually, like, because I knew of other games, sat there and waited. And then I went and waited and listened. I went through the credits. I actually didn't make it through the full credits because it was really, really long. And I just wanted to freaking play. But I did. That was my first introduction to all the music in the game. Mm-hmm. The music sticks in your brain. The cultist music, the religious music that they made is so well done. And I think because I sat there and watched the credits and really listened to the music, that's why it's even worse for me right now. To the point where, like, the Prey song, I'm like, if I hear that again, holy hell.
Because, I mean, they actually use that as, like, a tool in the game, which is pretty cool. Like, they actually have trucks filled with speakers that go around and play the music.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool to kind of see that carried throughout, you know.
They use music very well in the game. The one where you get the big truck. Oh my goodness. The 18-wheeler truck. What's it called? Do you remember?
In Fall's End?
Yeah.
I think it's called like the Widowmaker or something.
The Widowmaker. Yeah, you're right. The Widowmaker. Yeah. And as soon as you get in the truck and start the mission and Barracuda starts, I was like, yes!
Yeah, so there's the licensed music. The licensed music in the game is like reserved for when you're in the cars, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
which is kind of neat because, you know, you really do feel like you're like listening to a radio station as you're driving along, which is kind of neat. And then there's some good choices, too. There's some good tracks available.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the infamous, now I guess people could say, side mission, the what was it? The testicle testy, the tasty testies?
The testy festy.
Testy festy.
So where you literally have to go around and collect bull testicles for the Rocky Mountain Oyster Festival in Fall's End. Which
it was hilarious.
It is hilarious. And there's so many like little bits of like I really wish that in the next Far Cry game, if they chose to, like, I just want them to go all in. I want them to go all in on the action and the silly and the campy and just go for it. Because them kind of treading this line right now was so detrimental in the long run, at least to my experience. Like, after I finished the game, after, like, the final scene happened and the credits rolled, I didn't even want to go back to Hope County.
Would that be a recommendation then, to do as much as you can before you hit the last scene?
Yes, and I've been telling people that, honestly, try and get all your achievements done ahead of time. Try and finish everything up. You can go back. You can go back. But if you're anything like me, you won't want to. The last scene, just after going through so much nonsense and really enjoying myself, the last scene is just... it falls on deaf ears, actually. It's like the best way I can put it. It's just like, okay. And that's why I think that if I had experienced the story in any other format other than an open world adventure where, you know, I was going from mowing people down with a tractor or, you know, sending my giant bear after them and collecting bull testicles, it would have been effective, but not in a Far Cry setting.
So if you were able to play the entire story without doing any of the silly campy stuff on the side, do you think your impression of it would have been different?
I think it would have been more boring, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think the campy, silly stuff is what makes Far Cry. You know?
Yeah, but did it do a detriment to this story? Or was it just that they didn't go balls in on the story when they went the balls in on other stuff?
It was a detriment to the story. But I think at the end of the day, it's because it just wasn't the right format for the story.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we jump into wrapping up then giving your final 2 cents on Far Cry?
No, not really. I don't think so.
Okay. So overall, what's your thoughts on Far Cry 5? You had to wrap it up.
So my final, and I actually wrote this down. I finished the game.
Good.
I actually finished the game at like 4:30 in the morning. I wrote down this exact quote. Great gameplay with a wonderful balance and selection of side quests, objectives, collections, etc. Lots of cool mini games, including the hunting and fishing challenges. But the main storyline was too ambitious and ultimately undeserving of such an otherwise enjoyable game. Which is the best way I can put it.
Would you recommend it to others?
I would. I would genuinely recommend the game to people for everything but the story.
Ah, okay.
And I think it's very possible to play the game and really not focus on the story.
I think you're right.
Because there's so much in between every bit of the story that you can really forget about it for hours at a time until triggers a switch, and all of a sudden you're forced to experience the story again.
Yeah, there are moments where they actually come and you can't get away.
Exactly. So until you stumble upon one of those or do the right thing and flick the switch, you can enjoy the game for hours and not have to worry. But my approach would be play the game, you know, listen to the story, but don't expect it to blow your mind.
Awesome. Thanks, Allie.
My pleasure.
All right. We're going to get into the conclusion because that wraps up this week's episode. We thank you very much for listening. Before I let you go, of course, want to thank our wonderful website hosting partner, Fun.io. If you're looking for a website host, be it small, medium, or large, they can help you out. Go check them out. Stream team seems to be doing very well. Allie, how's streaming going for you, girl?
Streaming's going great. Going to be on a mini hiatus for PAX East next week, but there's going to be lots of other wonderful streamers doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning on trying to use the live feature at PAX at all?
Yeah.
With your phone?
Yeah. I mean, I use Mixer Create quite regularly while I'm here at home, but convention internet's not always the best, so I'll see what I can do. And hopefully you'll either see me on Mixer Create or from the Mixer streaming pods. So
awesome. That's cool. Yeah. And any social media, we'll be resharing all of our stream team that are down there hanging out, checking things out. I'm really excited to see what's happening. I will be in attendance this year because, you know, work. Someone's got to work.
Someone's got to work.
Yep. That's me. All right. Website wise, lots of things going on the website right now. We've got, of course, all of our podcasts are up there, including Buffs and Nerfs. You want to check that out. Catherine has a wonderful review of a game called Florence that I started playing and got about 20 minutes into on a bus ride. And wow, I was impressed. Allie, did you get to try that
no.
at all?
No, it's not really my type of game, I don't think.
I know there are some reviews and things coming, so do come back to girlsongames.ca for that. Before I really close out the show, Allie, thank you so much for coming, and I want you to give a chance to shout out your social media so people can track you down and talk Far Cry with you.
Yeah, if you want to argue with me about my Far Cry opinions, you can reach me on Twitter at 8BitBlonde. Or on Mixer at 8BitBlonde. And I'm totally willing to talk because I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about this game, and I want to hear from you guys.
Awesome. And I'm Leah Ju, our most social media platforms, GOG Leah on Xbox Live and Mixer. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games, and you can track us down on Facebook and Twitter at The Girls on Games. We're on Instagram, just Girls on Games. You can continue this lovely conversation digitally through Discord if you want to jump into our channel and chat with us about video games and more. Discord.me/Girls on Games. But of course, you ever need to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Allie, for a wonderful week. Thank you for listening. I'm going to go and defeat some cultists. It's time. So we'll see you this time next week. Have a good one.
Bye.